Please be seated. Well, we're going to focus on that passage in Luke and chapter 17 and verses 11 through to 19. So in the church Bibles, that is page 1051. And we have the sheets. You all got a sheet as you came in. So if you want to follow the message on the sheets, and we can seek to learn together this morning. Right, it's great to be together, from the youngest to the oldest, and we want to learn from the Lord right now. So let's venture into God's Word together, and let's ask the question, who gets the blessing? Who gets the real blessing in life? Perhaps ask a question before that. Do you want to have blessing in your life? Do you want to have real blessing? Do you want to have the really have the best stuff of life in your life? And I trust that regardless of where you're from, what age you are, that's a question we can all say yes to. Yeah, we really do want the best things in our lives. This morning we want to head towards considering this. How do we get the blessing? And who is it that gets the blessing? What do we have to do to get the blessing? All this good stuff, the best stuff in our lives. Some of you younger ones, you've got so many years ahead. And I long for the best for you. I long for you to think about how the best things of life are going to come into your lives. You know, it's a time of harvest, and we're thinking about God's blessing. Yeah? The things in front of us tell that God has blessed us. God has provided for us. Good things have come into our lives. Okay? Dare I say it? For all of us here, unless we've been ill, we've probably been able to eat food and drink water this year since last harvest. And that's a reminder that God has been good for us. And these blessings are significant, they're important, and it's right to thank God. And harvest is just a great time. It's an important time. And it's good that we have it as a church. But I want us to go further this morning. We see these blessings. I want to push on to the biggest blessings. I want us to be thinking about receiving the biggest blessings and giving thanks for the biggest blessings from God. Okay? So we're going to our passage this morning. I'm going to focus on a man who had the fullest and richest blessings that life can give. But this passage, we're in the book of Luke, and Luke says right at the beginning, he's putting everything down. He's there, all that he's learned about the Lord Jesus. He's putting it all down so that we can fully understand everything that has happened concerning this one who's come from heaven and taken humanity. Children, everybody, reminder, God took humanity. God became a man in Jesus Christ. And that's revealed to us in the book of Luke. And the key verse in the book of Luke, I suggest to you, is found in chapter 19 and verse 10, where it says, concerning the Lord Jesus, the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. Yeah. That's what the book is about. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. And as the book develops, you come to a part in chapter 9 and verse 51, where we read in chapter 9 and verse 51, as the time approached for him to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. So that sets his path. Where is he going from chapter 9 verse 51 onwards? He's going to Jerusalem. And what is going to happen at Jerusalem? What's going to happen? He is going to suffer and die and rise again the third day. And what's going to happen as a result of that? The lost are going to be saved. The lost are going to be saved. So that's something of the frame. And this morning we're going to see how one lost one is saved. So what does it say in verse 11 of chapter 17 that we've read it? What does it say? He's on his way to Jerusalem. He's on his way there. That's where he set himself to go. So verse 11 says, now on his way to Jerusalem. That's where he's going. And he's going through a place of division. What's the division? It's the division between Samaria and Galilee, it says there in verse 11. We have Galilee, where the Jewish people are, and Samaria, where the Samaritan people are, and he's right in the middle. And these people are divided. And the Jews don't think much of the Samaritans, and the Samaritans don't think much of the Jews, and it's division. Well, things don't change much, do we? You've got lots of that today, don't you? Around the world, and people are fighting around the world. Well, that's a bit like here. And the Lord Jesus is in the middle. And what's he doing? Where's he going? He's heading for Jerusalem, where he will die so that all the lost ones, whether they're Samaritans, whether they're Galileans, whether they're British, whether they are African, whether they are Asian, whether they are, all can be drawn together. And we're going to look at one of those who was drawn. And he's a picture of how people are drawn into unity through what Jesus Christ has done. We're going to see how the lost can be saved. So we got these four headings this morning. And firstly, we're thinking about together in suffering. We're going to think about 10 lepers who were together in suffering. So look at what it says in verse 12. It says, and as he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. Leprosy is a terrible disease. It is a contagious disease. What do I mean when I say a contagious disease? It means it's easily catchy. People should soon get it. And that's why they were at a distance. They had to keep out. You know, what happens? What's the fundamental thing that goes wrong when you have leprosy? You lose your pain function. Yeah? So pain is God's alarm system. We don't like pain, but actually pain is a gift. Why is it a gift? Because it shows us that something's wrong. If you haven't got pain, you've got no system to show the alarm when something goes wrong. And so you can have something wrong with you, like you can have a bad foot, and you don't realize you've got a bad foot, and you end up with losing your foot because you never felt any pain. And that's what happens with leprosy. It's a terrible disease. The skin starts to rot. And actually, it apparently affects your voice box as well, your larynx, and you can't speak fully properly. And it's just a terrible, terrible disease. And you see in the Old Testament, Leviticus chapter 13 and 14, you've got 116 verses of the Bible all to do with leprosy and how the people of Israel had to deal with those who were lepers. And if somebody was suspected of having leprosy, they had to go to the priest, who was the kind of health inspector at the time. And you had to go. And you know what? What happened? What happened if somebody was declared to have leprosy? What happened? Effectively, life was over, you know. that joker man tried to give a P45 to the Prime Minister this week. Well, your P45 getting your P45 would be the least of your problems. If you've got leprosy, you'd be finished. You're finished with your family, you're finished with your work. Everything's over. Yeah. You're just cut off from everything. You never be able to go and mix with your family again, never be able to mix with your friends again. You're an outsider. Yeah. You stand at a distance. And what do you have to say if people come near to you? What do you have to say to warn people off? You have to say unclean, unclean. It's a vile thing. It's a vile thing. Okay. And there's 10 of them. And they were bound together. And it appears
We can't be absolutely sure, but the passage isn't absolutely clear. But from what it says at the end of verse 15, and he was a Samaritan, that was the one who came back. It seems as though we've probably got nine of these lepers were Jews, and one of them was a Samaritan. But they all came together, they got a common plight, they'd all got leprosy. And they were all outsiders, and they were all unclean, and they were all cut off, and they were all a living death. They were just a living death. No promise of normal life, just existing. Foul, terrible situation. And what happened? What happened? They'd heard something about Jesus. They'd obviously heard something about Jesus. It had got to them somehow or other that this Jesus can do something for people in need like them. And so we read, what does it say, verse 12? As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance. Of course they stood at a distance. They'd been drilled into their minds for however long they'd had leprosy. You cannot come near. Cannot come near. And they called out in a loud voice with those croaky voices, however they were. They cried out with a loud voice. And if you look in the original, the word, it has the idea. The word voice is phon. And the word loud is mega. So what is it like? It's like a megaphone. They didn't bother who was listening. They were desperate. Just cried out with a big megaphone. Wow. Everybody could hear. Jesus, Master, have pity on us. Jesus, Master, the one who has authority. And he said, when somebody got a master. Yeah. 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 Some of you at school. We used to use the term, perhaps don't use it today, we used to call schoolmasters. They're the one who have authority, yeah? And he's the one who has a master. Have pity on us, okay? They didn't say to, Lord, you know, we can do this and then you help us. They realised they could do nothing. They got this disease that was just disastrous. And they just had, Lord, have pity on us. So that's the first point to this morning is that they were together in their suffering. They were together in their suffering. Second point this morning is that they were together in their healing. They were together in their healing. All 10 of them got healed. So look at it in verse 14. What does it say? When he saw them. It's an interesting observation. It's not when he heard them. It's when he saw them. And you can get a sense that the Lord looked at them. And there was some compassion towards them. It's not as if he just carried on and said, well, I can't be bothered, but here, you just have this. He's taken an interest. He actually looked at them. He saw them. And he says to them, what does he say in verse 14? He says, go show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. Why go to the priests? Well, just as the priest would declare you unclean, if you were healed from leprosy, you had to go to the priest for him to check it all out, that you properly were healed, and he would declare you clean. So that's why they sent off to the priest. He was the health inspector. To do with leprosy. Interesting what happens here. They did what he said, verse 14, they went and they were cleansed. He told them to go, they did it, and it happened. Well, that's a good basic principle for us to learn this morning, isn't it? We should do what, if you do what the Lord Jesus says, there will be blessing. As a general principle, we may wonder sometimes what the blessing is, but as a general principle, the Lord Jesus says, do it, we should do it, and there will be a good outcome. Some of them might have a worse leprosy than others. Some of them might not have been so bad, but they all had leprosy. They were all hopeless, and they were all healed. But where are they going? Where are they going? Okay, just get a visual here. That's where the priests are. So you got to the priests are. That's where the Lord Jesus is. Yeah? They were stood at a distance, so they're not right next to the Lord Jesus. Okay? They're told to go. So which way are they going? They're going to the priest? Which way are they going? They're going this way, aren't they? So what's happening? What's happening? They're heading to the priest. What's happening? Well, they're getting further away from the Lord Jesus, aren't they? Yeah. They're moving. He's there, and they're going that away. Yeah. They're heading away from the one who brought them all the blessing. See? They're moving away. They're going back to the priests who are connected with the temple. And they were heading back where in their lives? What do you think was happening? They were heading back where? They were heading back to normality. You can only start to imagine, but you think, well, they looked at themselves, saw that they were cleansed, and they say, yeah, we can get back to normal here. So get back to the priest. He can tick the boxes for us. So we get the form. I wonder what the priest made of it. He didn't see this happening every day. Nine people turned up. We'll think later, one of them didn't get to the priest. And they'd all been healed of leprosy. It would have been an amazing thing for him. If it was today, he probably would have had to go on the computer and find out how to get on with it all. He probably never seen it before and go and look up Leviticus 13 and 14. But that's just an aside. But basically here, they were just wanting to get back to their normal life. That's where they were heading. They were blessed but not transformed. They were healed but not converted. They were heading back to normality. They were going to the priests. And they were going back to the temple. And they're going back to the normal life. Yes, appreciative to God. No doubt. Appreciative to God. Yeah. Now let's think about ourselves. About being appreciative to God. Yeah. What is it? What are we celebrating on this day?
Harvest.
It's harvest, isn't it? Harvest. And what are we thinking? We're appreciating God's goodness to us, aren't we? Yeah? But what are we going to do from now on? We think, well, God has been good to us. Yes, thank you. I've had some nice food. A reminder during 2017, we've had good food and God has provided it. And harvest has come again. And we thought about the farmer this morning. And we in urban areas don't appreciate it so much. But for the farmer who's been out in the fields and he's labored so long and hard, he's the one who really appreciates the harvest. And we can be thankful. But what are we going to do? Are we just going to get on with our normal lives? Are we just going to get on? But are we going to move away from the source of blessing? Yeah. So you think about the image again. The Lord Jesus is there. The men are moving to there and they're moving away from the Lord Jesus, you see. They're just going back to a normal life. There may be a religious aspect to it. You see, the issue is, and it hits us here, you see, a lot of people, they're willing to include some thanksgiving to God for things in this life, but they never think bigger than that. They never think about eternity. They never think about what the call of God is upon their lives. They just think, well, I've had a blessing. These had a big blessing, didn't they? Wow, what a blessing. They're healed. But we get big blessings every day. The water that comes in your taps, that's a pretty significant blessing. If you didn't have water in your taps for 10 days, you'd be realizing it was a pretty significant blessing. Yeah? But how do we respond? Well, we see these people are moving away. And we can be like that. We can just think, well, I've got a decent life. I've got enough money. Got enough friends. I'm making happy. And like Mark thought in the children's talk, that man says, everything's comfortable now. No need of God. I'll just get on with my life. Yeah, I'll thank God. I've got a big crop. I'll thank God. Yeah. And for some of us, we might think, well, that's what it's all about, you know? We don't trouble me about eternity. That'll happen when it happens, and we just get on with life. And you think, well, the rest of the story is, well, what does it say in the rest of the story? Yes, verse 16, he threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. Oh, yeah, he was extra special because he just thanked Jesus. He said thank you. It's always a good thing to say thank you. And we end up making the Bible a book of morals. Oh, he was a bit better than the others. He said, thank you. But no, there's something bigger and better that we need to find out about. The book of the Bible is not just a book of morals, although it is. It's a book of salvation. So let's think about the third section. There was a man and he was alone in returning. Yeah? You see, this man, the Samaritan man, he had been healed as well. But he wasn't content to go back to his normal life. He wanted to go back to the blesser. So look at it in verse 15. It says, one of them, when he saw he was healed, came back. Yeah. What went through his mind, we can't fully be sure. But it must have been something along these lines. He thinks, I've been healed. I've had this leprosy for however long, and it's been an absolutely disastrous life. And something has happened now. My skin is all formed properly. Everything is back together. And there's one who's done it. And he's back there. And I think I should go back to him. Because he's obviously somebody very significant. He's able to cure leprosy. We've never seen anybody like that before. He must have powers. Very likely he must be God. So he returns. Yeah? Interestingly, he perhaps didn't have such an attraction to the religious stuff which the others were going for, because he was a Samaritan. And he wasn't perhaps so engaged with what that paraphernalia was about, going back to the temple with the priests. Which just reminds us of a little thing this morning. Religion can be one of the most dangerous things about truly coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. It can be one of the biggest things for getting in the way, because we're drawn back to religion and we can be drawn away from the Lord Jesus Christ. This man didn't have that draw because he was not connected with the Jewish religious system. So he thinks, I'm not going to be drawn back to that religious issue. I'm going to go for Jesus. So he goes back. He separates. He's on his own. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back. You know, sometimes we have to separate from others to get the real blessing of life in the Lord Jesus Christ. Children, this is a big issue for you. You're growing up in a world where they've got so much pressure on you to do what everybody around you does. And some of the stuff they want you to do is foul. And you've got to learn there is a better way. You've got to learn to say no to bad stuff to go a better way. And that most particularly is found in saying, I'm going to go for the Lord Jesus Christ. No matter what the others think, we don't read it here, but possibly the other nine might have thought, well, why aren't you coming with us? Well, what are you doing? And sometimes people might mock you, but he separates. He goes on his own. Looked at his skin and said, everything's different now. I'm going back to the one who's done this for me. So he goes back. And what's he doing? He comes back, praising God in a loud voice. Guess what? He's got the megaphone out again. It's the same word. He's got his megaphone out. And his voice is now restored. And what's he doing? He's singing the praise of God. He thinks, God has come. This man has brought God into my situation. Praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. He returned, he praised, he threw himself down and he thanked. All this coming. It's worship, isn't it? He threw himself down. The distance had gone. His prayer had been answered. This man had healed him. They'd all cried out and he'd been healed. And he just returned to the one who had answered his prayer. He threw himself down. He saw who this one must be. He saw something who this one must be. This must be God. He was there with total devotion. He was just saying, I'm now totally forgotten. When you fall down at somebody's feet, you're finished with yourself. You are broken. He's finished with all of his old way. Okay, let's pick up something of the image there. And there is a connection here that's running along. You know, one of the great images with regard to the whole issue of leprosy is what? That it gives a picture of sin. Because sin destroys your life. Sin cuts you off from normality. Sin means you're a living death. And this man had now been given life. And he had come and he had seen that there were bigger things. This bigger God had intervened in his life and he was just broken. Everything of his old life was finished now. Everything, whether it be the leprosy, whether it be his selfish pursuits, he didn't just want the normal life. He didn't just want to go back to his mates. He wanted something different. He doesn't go into the temple with its priests. He was coming to who? The great high priest who is the temple. Because God dwells in him. The Lord Jesus. A temple, what is a temple? A place where people say God is. Well, Jesus is the one where God is. What is a priest? A priest is the one who can bring you to God. Jesus is the one who brings you to God. And so the other nine had gone off to their religion. He'd gone to Christ and he'd got the superior. He'd got the real presence of God. He was right in the presence of God at the feet. He'd got the one who could bring him to God. He got Jesus. He got everything. He got life. He got the blessing. He's got all that he needs now. He wasn't going back to normality. So challenge everybody. Harvest. Great. Celebrate. Enjoy it. Wonderful. We must have it, but we must push on. Don't go back to normality and your selfish ways and our own pursuits. Go for the blessings. The problem for many of us is we just don't see it. We just don't see it. We just can't see beyond our normality. But I just want to encourage you this morning to see beyond. To see beyond and see the greater blessings that there are in Jesus Christ. Are you going back to normality or are you going for Jesus? That's the question really this morning. Are you going for the real blessings? Are you just interested in the physical things of this world and getting through? Are you interested in the bigger things of God and having spiritual life in Christ Jesus? If you're just thinking of the blessings in this world, then there's something wrong. So this harvest, go further. Go for the big blessings which come from Jesus Christ, which is life forevermore, which is peace, joy, hope, found at the feet of Jesus. He was a Samaritan, it says there at the end of verse 16. He was an outsider to the normal way of things, but now he could come inside. Can I just say, this morning as well, to us as Christians, just think of the loud voice. Just think of the feet of Jesus. Yes, we should do things decently in order, but what about sometimes just being a little bit more aggressive and a little bit more thoughtful about how we might, if we're really moved by how much God has done for us, do we really show it? Right, the fourth point. He was alone in blessing. He was alone in blessing. Now you might say, and most people would say, you know, he's got his leprosy healed. Come on, that's enough. That's blessing enough. You know what are you talking about? He can go back, you know, he can go back down the pub. He can go and watch TV. He can just get on and do the normal stuff. Get a job again. Be able to mix with his family again. Oh, come on, what's this business? You're going to say there's a bigger blessing? Because that's what most people in Feltham are thinking today, isn't it? You know, got enough money for my pleasures and for my normality. That's enough. Are you thinking that this morning? And I'm saying, you say, no, there's a bigger blessing. Yeah? And if you fail to come to Jesus, praising him, worshipping him, broken before him, then you're always going to miss out. Yeah? The Lord Jesus expects that they should all have come. He expects this morning, in a sense, that all of Feltham should come. All of Feltham, which has got, as Mark says, food in their cupboards, in a sense, should come and think, there's one who's brought this food to me. He asked, where are the other nine? Verse 17, Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other nine?
One had come back. He's got all the stuff. He's got all the blessings. So I just say, guys, ladies, everybody, all of you, do you want to be with the one? That's where the big blessing is. Who receives it? The one receives it. How does he receive it? By faith. It says there in verse 19, he said, rise up and go. Your faith has made you well. But the Lord Jesus is expecting the nine to come, but they didn't want the fullest blessing, did they? They just want to go back to normality. Yeah, so you mean, it's interesting how Jesus calls him a foreigner. Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? Up to this time, everything is changing with the Lord Jesus. You'd have the temple. And in the temple, there was the court of the Gentiles, which was for the non-Jews. And at the end of the court of the Gentiles, it said what? It said something along the line, foreigners not allowed. Foreigners not allowed. You can't go any further. You can't move closer to the presence of God. That's as far as you came. And this foreigner, what's happened to him? He's now in the presence of God. He's now got one who's bringing him to God. He's at the feet of Jesus. God welcomes foreigners. God welcomes whatever you are this morning. The colour of your skin. The nationality you come from. God welcomes. There's no barrier to foreigners this morning. We're all naturally foreigners. But God is welcoming us in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a welcome for foreigners. This man was now whole. He had the blessing. Who had the blessing that mattered? How many had the blessing? Well, in a sense, 10 had the blessing. But really only one had the blessing, didn't he? Because he's got the real big blessing of knowing Jesus and knowing eternal life and knowing purpose and knowing a future and knowing forgiveness of sins and knowing a Father in heaven and knowing a Savior who cares for him and knowing one who will look after him for now and forever. And he's received Jesus by faith. So you might say, what is faith? Well, it's all the stuff really in verse 15, isn't it? Verse 16. What's faith? It is coming back to Jesus, praising God in a loud voice, throwing yourself down at Jesus' feet and thanking him. That's faith. It's just finished with yourself and going to Jesus and being brought to God. Finished with yourself and all of your sin. Yeah. Okay. So that's it. Notice the word finally though. I just wanted to, just thinking about this. Well, what does the word well mean? It means more than well. It means whole. It means saved. It means fully being what you were called to be. It means everything that a whole human being should be. And that was through faith. And that was through trusting the Lord Jesus Christ. You could go into a new life now. You can go into a new life, a better life. Some of us in the goodness of God have gone into a better life. Some of you have not gone into a better life because you've never come to faith in Christ yet. So, what does that mean? Finally this morning, is the challenge of harvest this morning is, are we just going to give thanks for the blessings and go into our normal life? Or are we going to press through to the biggest spiritual blessings that come from Jesus Christ, and they come in response to faith, trust, depend on Jesus. Don't depend upon yourself. So my plea, from the youngest to the oldest this morning is, don't just go back to normal. Return to Jesus. So who gets the blessing? And how do you get the blessing? It's the returner who gets the blessing. It's the one who comes back to Jesus that gets the blessing. So please think about it. I fear there are many who profess Christ who still are just using their religious activity as a means of maintaining their normal life, and they never truly come into the fullest of blessings
in Christ by returning to Him, thanking God with a loud voice, broken, cast down at His feet, and saying, thank you. Thank you. And now he could rise up and go. And not only was his life always changed because he was now free of leprosy, his life was always different forever because he had come to Jesus. Truly. And that's the big issue. So return and get the blessing. We're going to sing our final hymn then. And I take it this man could sing it. And he just would see singing, give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because he's given Jesus Christ, his Son. Reminder to everybody, please stay behind for lunch. If you can't stay for lunch, stay for refreshments. We'll have time together. There's issues from the Word this morning that have troubled you or you don't understand. And please, the younger ones, that includes you, then please come and speak to us. And we all want to make sure we're going out into a new life and not just going out into normal life. Let us stand and sing.